Paranormal, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. The Robert Doll. On the eve of his inauguration as 43rd President of the United States, George W. Bush sends a letter to a certain Robert. He presents him his best wishes for the end-of-year celebrations and thanks him in advance for not bringing bad luck to his term of office or to the whole country he has to lead. The letter is sent to Key West, Florida, to the mailbox of the Fort East Martello Museum. There, the envelope joins 1,000 others on the wall of a glass cage in the heart of one of the main rooms. Inside is a doll, sitting on a small wooden chair, 3 apples high, a stuffed puppy on its lap, its head dressed in a white cap, and its straw body in a rag. 2 black beads instead of eyes, hollowed out in the middle of a smooth and cold face, pierce you with their gaze if you dare to touch them. It's important to know that this doll, named Robert, has a dark past. It's an old story, which inspired the Chucky doll from the movies, and has been making the United States tremble for decades, even in the Oval Office of the White House. The story begins at the very start of the 20th century, in the island town of Key West, Florida. The Otto family owns a splendid house, oozing success and power. A whole army of servants is employed to make it shine, to maintain the garden, to prepare meals. The family portrait is idyllic. The father makes a fortune in business, the mother finds time a little slow, alone in this big house, and their 3 beautiful boys are promised a well-to-do life, free from the slightest hassle. On this last point, unfortunately, we must return. One day, one of the servants is dismissed for obscure reasons which we guess are unjust. The servant is indignant. After so many years of good and loyal service, he's been sacked without an ounce of humanity, like a sock with a hole in it. However, he does not protest. He accepts his fate, gathers his things, and bids farewell to the Ottos. He even leaves a parting gift for the youngest of the 3 children, Robert Eugene, a doll that he made himself out of straw and scraps of used clothing. The gesture is appreciated, the child is overjoyed, but everyone is unaware that the servant is in fact an adept of voodoo magic. After the dismissed servant's departure, Robert Eugene never leaves his doll for a single moment. It becomes his best friend, his confidant, his playmate. He spends entire days with it, locked in his room, living the incredible adventures that only a 6-year-old can imagine. Through the closed door, his mother sometimes hears 2 distinct voices, the delicate voice of a child, then another, hoarser and more adult. She doesn't worry about it. In fact, she's delighted with her son's ventriloquist talents. With time, the boy develops a real obsession with his doll. He decides to give the doll his own first name, Robert, and now asks to be called only by his second name, Eugene. At meals, he insists the doll be seated at the table, installing it on a stool beside him. On several occasions, his parents find broken objects in the house, a vase here, an ashtray there, and when suspicions turn to the youngest, little Eugene, he accuses his doll Robert of being the culprit. He keeps repeating, "Robert did it! Robert did it!" Of course, Eugene doesn't escape the occasional punishment for not taking responsibility for his own mistakes. Over the years, however, what seemed like a harmless joke ends up making Mrs. Otto doubt. When she talks to neighbors about her concerns over her son and his toy, they admit they've heard strange rumors. When the whole Otto family is away, people say they've seen the doll's silhouette through one of the second floor windows. The children of the neighborhood swear it walks through the rooms, and at night, they have fun scaring each other, daring one another to stand the longest in front of the house. A local plumber claims he heard, one afternoon when he was left alone on the property, evil laughter escaping from a cupboard. The man was seen running away, leaving behind his tools and his courage. So many eerie stories do nothing to reassure Mrs. Otto, especially when one night, a terrible scream resounds in Eugene's room, waking up the whole house. The parents rush to their son's bedside and discover him wrapped in his comforter, sobbing. At the foot of the bed, the Robert doll, perched on his trusty stool, looks at the boy sternly. A great aunt, visiting Florida for a few days of vacation during this period, and who's probably had enough of not being able to sleep in this madhouse, suggests the next morning that the boy finally be stripped of his damn doll. The idea is adopted, Robert is taken away, and joins the cobwebs in the attic. The problem seems to be solved. Well, not quite. The great aunt dies a few weeks later of a heart attack, while creaking can be heard from the attic that whole day. As for little Eugene, he's inconsolable since being separated from his best friend. His parents offer him new toys, but they find them mutilated, abandoned, in the corners of the house. When asked about this, the child always answers the same thing. Robert did it. Fortunately, Eugene ends up growing up like any other child, to the point of forgetting the existence of Robert, still stuck up in the attic. When he's old enough to go to school, he studies art in Chicago, New York, and finally Paris, where he becomes a painter. He meets Anne, a sculptor, with whom he gets married. The loving couple returns to Florida and settles in the Otto family home, which Eugene inherited at the death of his parents. In the attic, amidst the dusty boxes and furniture, he stumbles upon his Robert doll, who has aged quite a bit. One-eyed, his face in tatters, his tunic worn out. As soon as they meet again, Eugene falls back into his old ways. He patches up his old friend, sews him a doctor's coat, a little white cap, and a new eye. He installs him in one of the brightest rooms and redecorates it for the occasion with a custom-made bed and a wooden stool. Touched at first by her husband's nostalgia, Anne quickly changes her mind. This doll gives her goosebumps with its empty look. She's even convinced that she has seen its expression change several times, going from insipid to an unhealthy smile. She comes to believe it's ridiculous to devote an entire room to a simple toy, a room that could have other uses, a newborn's bedroom, for example. But Eugene is nowhere near being on the same page as his wife. He has completely stopped painting and spends his day in the company of his doll, like when he was a boy. His wife even catches him several times leaving their bed to join Robert in the middle of the night. After a while, Anna gives him an ultimatum. It's either her or the doll. Her husband abdicates, and Robert is reluctantly sent back to the attic. Maybe this time was the straw that broke the camel's back. We're in the 1970s. Eugene Otto falls seriously ill soon after and dies in his bed of a heart attack. Anne loses her mind, is admitted to a psychiatric hospital, and commits suicide a year after him. It is said that at the end of her life, she kept whispering, "Robert did it. Robert did it." The Otto family house is bought in 1974 by a young couple, and the nightmare begins again. Their 10-year-old daughter finds the doll while playing in the attic and decides to adopt it. Big mistake. Robert attacks her the following night in her sleep and traumatizes her for the rest of her life. The family wastes no time in moving and leaving as far away as possible. It's finally during a last resale of the house that the Robert doll, whose reputation has finally crossed all of Florida, is given not to a new child, but to the Fort East Matello Museum in West Key. Since that day, it has been locked up in its glass prison, but still gets out regularly to follow the museum employees home. Some very strict rules have been established. In its presence, visitors must remain polite, not make fun of Robert, and ask permission to take a picture. If you offend the doll, be quick to apologize or send him a letter, chocolates, or candies. Otherwise, you may suffer his wrath. Divorce, dismissal, accident, illness. Be warned. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.